that one, can you, is the speaker on that one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you sure?
I thought so.
Can you ask one of the guests if they can hear you?
Well, my concern is I'm not sure, because I think I just muted myself on here. Oh.
Too much damn talking technology going on.
Did you unmute that one?
Steve, can you hear us?
That's better.
Everybody
hear? Oh, sorry.
No.
Okay, can you go ahead and talk again? I don't want the feedback from here.
Can everyone hear?
Well, Steven, yeah, okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We're trying something different tonight.
Okay.
We're experimenting with technology. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. It's 6:04. We'll call the February workshop to order. First on the docket is the solar project update. Larry?
Okay. Madam Mayor, members of council, the solar project had its 11th progress meeting today. So here's where we are of the progress meeting. Keeping in mind, notice to proceed was October. August the 6th, 2020, substantial completion date at that time was January 13th, 2021, with final completion date being the 2nd of February of 2021. At this point, the project is not complete. There is some outstanding work that I want to give you an update on, and then, of course, the big show being the interconnection agreement update. The contractor put in a request for payment on the 10th of December, and he received his check last Tuesday. That was part of that 7 week or so delay or process time was working through the reimbursement process with the state. So what he's doing now is he's closing out his subcontractors, so the liens and lien releases and waivers from the subcontractors are pending. They're about 85% paid, so as soon as they are fully paid, the subcontractors and suppliers can close out those liens or waivers can be released. Pay application number 5 was submitted on the 10th of this month to the engineer, so the town should be getting it any minute now, but has received it as of today. At this point, the liquidated damages, that number keeps going up every week, totals $20,400. There is a pending application for or request for time extension on the part of the contractor, so that will be working its way up to mayor and council as we get closer to the closeout point in time. And again, in large part, that hangs on the time delay from the interconnection and also on the delivery of the transformer, which was projected to be 12 weeks. We are now into week 13 with no transformer in hand. So contractor is looking, working with the supplier to see when that's going to happen exactly. That's
and part of the reason why that transformer is on hold is it was online to be built, and then DP&L came back and changed a bunch of stuff. So it's not the contractor.
On this one, correct.
Be sure on that.
Yeah, we can get into that because there are some things that one missing piece of the interconnection have just, that's sort of been the missing domino to knock down the dominoes. And we just went through our third consecutive Friday of being told by DP&L we're going to have the agreement in hand. Well, now it's tomorrow. So
tomorrow never comes.
Not with this project. Not for delivery, anyway.
But again, latest email this morning from the contractor, and we had the discussion at our 11th weekly meeting, was that by end of business tomorrow, DP&L will have the newest version of the agreement. Keep it in mind, this is an interagency agreement between the Marver Power and Light and the Reynoldsburg, so it's going to need to come to council to be approved. And that will happen as soon as we get it, but as soon as we get it, I'll forward it along. Also, the engineers in the town are planning on having a huddle as soon as we get that information from the power company. But correct as far as things have been held up because the interconnection is key to actually closing out the project. And keep in mind, it's been at least since early December that the town's been waiting for the DP&L interconnection agreement to come. The one of the $831,000 was actually dated on the 8th of January. And it's just been the back and forth since then that this isn't right, and we need to get from that 750 kilowatts down to 749 kilowatts, transfer switch, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what comes in the email tomorrow. And as soon as I know, you'll know. I can answer anything that's not an engineering question. And I can get an engineering answer from you. You can catch up with Mr. E. Travis Hughes tomorrow, if there's anything in particular about the project.
You're going to fix the low spots in the driveway around there?
We keep talking about doing the fill-up, at least on the gravel path around it, to elevate that. That's the only thing I think that's been discussed as far as the low spots. We've been through rain and snow now with that project pretty much built, so we see where water stands and whatnot. So it really is only one bad location, and that's right there on that.
On the front half.
Right.
There's another one on the back corner. And you're looking back left.
Okay.
The low spot there in the roadway.
Okay, I'll catch up with Scott tomorrow. Contractor. Scott. Anything else on the solar panel project?
No, I don't have anything.
Hopefully on the meeting on the 1st, we'll have the agency agreements to be considered and approved.
Fingers crossed.
Or we won't.
Not holding my breath on that one either. Next we have the, thank you. Next we have the FY 2022 budget update.
Yeah, this is the sort of budget review preview update. So it's the budget without numbers. It's the overview where we are and how the process is going. We'll continue working on the budget through February and March. It's my goal to get mayor and council a budget document, balanced budget document, by the 31st of March. Now, I am anticipating some uncertainties, especially as far as revenue projections, especially off the state share revenue side. Early, end of March is kind of early. Some of those numbers may be coming in April and May, but as soon as they're updated, we'll update accordingly. I'll keep everyone informed as to any significant changes. But I did would like to call to your attention some of the guidance and priorities that are going into the budget. So I've identified five bullet points. Just a public record and for our ordinance out there on usually priorities as follows. First is compliance with the various state and federal regulations. Just as the town puts regulations on residents and businesses to comply with various obligations, so the state and feds put obligations on us, and we'll meet those obligations and regulations. Facilities and capital assets maintenance and upkeep. A lot of this is grant-funded, but it's not all grant-funded. Think of this roof in this building and half of the log cabin. So we do have to start putting some money aside and spending for ordinary upkeep of our facilities. Third is employee salary compensation and development. Employee compensation aligns with the step and salary the grade and step salary chart compensation package has been adopted by the mayor and council. Employees' performance evaluations are going on this month, except for the police department, which has already happen. So assuming that there's satisfactory evaluations all the way around, people will do what they need to be on their staff. Also, if any employees are interested in any kind of skill or knowledge or ability development, they should request that from their immediate supervisor and put that into the budget budget line, and we can take a look at that. Fund balance reserves and ready reserves need to be looked at. This is affects us as a cash flow situation. Keep in mind, as the staff report mentioned last month, the Government Finance Officers Association recommends a two-month standard of general fund revenue by way of general fund expenditure by way of reserve, and we're at about half a month or six-tenths of a month according to the audit. Auditor will be here on the first, the meeting on the first, to present the audit to council. And then community amenities and quality of life, these include the parks, the trails, and open space, but also other things like property maintenance and code compliance. So property maintenance and code compliance will take the priority in the budget as well. Any questions about any of those sort of approaches or guiding principles? All right. At this point, this is the high-level summary, the budget without the numbers. No proposed new taxes or fees, and no proposed increases in current taxes or fees. We've been through this fiscal year of the increase in the rental inspection and the rental licenses, and we've been through the new cable franchise fee. Both of those are revenue enhancers, which will be helpful. I don't see the point in going back and asking for any new taxes or fees or increases on the current taxes or fees. The sewer rates will need to be looked at and likely increased incrementally to account for system costs and to do something to help reduce that structural deficit that requires the fund balance transfer from the general fund to the sewer fund to close that gap. Water fund does fine, sewer fund does less than fine, and actually general fund does fine. No new staff positions proposed, no existing staff positions eliminated. Employee cost of living increase of 1.4% as reflected in the 2020 National Consumer Price Index. Pending satisfactory performance evaluations, grade level step adjustment to a couple of employees or several employees on the pay grade steps chart that frankly are undervalued. Let's see how their performance evaluation goes and see about moving a few people up. Vehicles will be acquired through the adopted lease agreement with Enterprise. Talk to the chief of police, and we're not even pursuing USDA. The police cars are not even by way of consideration for next fiscal year. But we are looking at USDA loan and grant as a potential source of income to pay for a trash truck and or backhoe. So I've attached that correspondence with our representative from the USDA. Public Utilities Director and myself are meeting with her, Zoom meeting anyway, on Thursday, so we'll discuss on some of that situation. But, you know, we don't have the cash handy to purchase either one of those. And she gets into some of the particulars there about whether we're getting into a trash truck or whether we're getting into a backhoe only. Options we'll talk through, and then we'll get some numbers back. Those will be working through the budget. I'll report that out independently in the weekly report anyway. Capital maintenance program, that's also included for the town water tanks. Southern Corrosion and Suez Corporations, who are both two major players in the water tank business, water tank maintenance business, in contact with the town. We've got some information from both. Steve and I have had discussion with the representative from Southern Corrosion, that's in your packet tonight, and the gentleman from Suez Corporation will be here on Thursday to talk to Steve and myself, 10 o'clock, about what their service offers or looks like. The number that's quoted in the Southern Corrosion is a pretty good ballpark, and it comes in at just over $37,000. Keep in mind, that's annual. Now, depends on how much maintenance you want to buy. Capital projects. If they're not completed in the current fiscal year, Chambers Park Log Cabin will need to be carried over, Old Denton Road Water Main will be carried over, and the Chambers Link Dam Repair will be carried over. The log cabin comes in at $35,700 and some change. Chambers Lake comes in at $8,000, and the Old Denton Road Water Main is at least priced out by our engineers at $555,500. Keeping in mind it hasn't gone out to bid yet, so we don't know how much that might cost. So if those are completed by the 30th of June, and I'm not anticipating Old Denton Road being, but if we get started early enough on the log cabin, and if we get started early enough on the dam, either one of those are going to be long projects, so hopefully we can get those closed up by June 30th and not have to reappropriate and carry all the projects yet another year. So, what's the capital project schedule looking like for next year? 115 North Main Street improvements. That's the town building across the street. We've got that $100,000 sitting out there. So that will at least make some measure of improvements. I don't know that we're going to get that building back in completely marketable shape for that price, but we'll do what we can do. Log Cabin Phase 2, if needed, and I'll talk about the Log Cabin momentarily. Marina Park Stormwater and Flood Design and Park Enhancements, if this is funded from the Maryland Department of the Environment and the Department of Natural Resources, Open Space, or other state and federal partners. And then the three that went through town meeting two weeks ago, the sewer pumping stations and SCADA upgrades, the water meter upgrades, and the well SCADA project. These are, again, our engineer put in funding from the Maryland Department of Environment. So if any or all of those receive grant funding, those are compliance related, so they'll need to move to the top of the schedule to get done. Again, keeping in mind, we don't face any compliance issues if 115 North Main Street never gets brought up, never gets approved. So, but we still get an obligation because it is one of our facilities after all, but first and foremost, it's environmental compliance, especially on the sewer and water side. So that's the overview. I'm happy to answer any questions about this. Again, you'll get a balanced budget. They'll be going. And I'll give you updates along the way, but 31st of March is my expectation to get in your hands a balanced budget, line item budget. So,
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay, so the price of the $37,000 there's a list of three or four things that are already wrong with it, but then this says it's a yearly. So,
right.
Is the four things that are in here included in that $37,000? Or, like, so what would their yearly be if they fixed these issues? And the one where there's the well burns, if the person, the contractor that did it before was responsible for it, is there inspections that are done after the water tower is worked on? I mean, I don't know why we should be responsible for damage that the other contractor did putting that corral back up.
I don't disagree with that. That's going to have to work its way through the appropriate process to hold the contractor responsible. The way the gentleman from Southern Corrosion explained it, and he's offered to come and talk to council as well, so mayor and council, to give his presentation. But that price is built in every year. He's actually laid out for the town I believe it was a 37-year program where various aspects of the tank are maintained or replaced or painted or improved. And the way to keep all those project costs in line is, in a sense, to buy in volume. So each one will cost more as an individual project than if we buy the program and prorate the program $37,000 over a period of years. So, again, he's proposed 40 years. But 37 years, when I talked to him, I said, how about 10? You know? Can we prioritize what we kind of really sort of need to do? And he said he'd be willing to come back with a whatever timetable. So I think the 37-year plan might not be the best approach. It's their approach, but if we ask for a specific over the next 10 years, what do we need to do, I'm sure that he can prioritize his 37-year plan program and give us cost estimates on each one of those. In fact, that might be the smart thing to ask of Southern Corrosion and Suez. This way, everybody's doing the same apple when they try and cost it out.
And they are breaking out the separate cost to take those lights off of the water tower for the maintenance to be performed and then for them to put the lights back on.
Yeah, and again, process-wise, at least the gentleman from Southern Corrosion can explain how that what that process looks like. Because he's also of the opinion that we don't have to do too much, you know, the potential to even paint the tank without removing the lights. But that's, they do this every day, I don't. So I'd rather hear what they have on the technical side.
Okay.
For that one anyway. But the interior tank maintenance and the, I believe he's got the photos in there. You see the hatch over there on the water tank in the industrial park that's not attached, which is a frightening thing. So there are some issues that are irrespective even of the lights. So the water tank, the industrial park's got some issues as well. It's the M&M tank. So. But I'm happy to ask the gentleman to come and present, maybe at a work session, if not necessarily on the first, there should be a couple of action items that need to move forward, as well as the presentation.
Okay, thank you. Next we have the log cabin.
The log cabin RFP is getting ready to be brought to council for its blessing before it goes out, which is ideally going to be on the 1st of March. What I've included is, in the packet, is the report out of which the application and the grant was approved, the Chambers Park Log Cabin, done by Rao in April of 2018. And I don't know if you've seen it or it's been a while since you've seen it, but in that report, it lays out the preliminary cost estimate, which are the work projects as well as what the estimated cost would be, priced out to a total of $22,477. Now the entire project comes in at $35,427, if I'm not mistaken, the actual number. $35,427 is on the next page, highlighted in yellow. That came with the proposal, wasn't it? I'll highlight in a little. That's the right thing to highlight. Which is the new cedar roof shingle replacement at $12,950, which is sort of an add-on. So we've only got that total of $35,427. John and I have been, John Garlick and I have been out there. The scope of work in the RFP talks about the town inspector sort of having the inspection control over the project. And I agree with that. The admin control of the project needs to be out in the manager's office, not the engineer's office. And we've got what we've got to spend on it. So, we've got some draft language for the RFP, the actual RFP. The packet looks good and it includes the particulars of what the checklist of what the RFP package consists of, the financial proposal form for the bidders, the conflict of interest affidavit disclosure. So there's all the, our attorney's done a good job of making sure that all the necessary documentation is included. We'll see what the real preservation project with $35,427 buys us. And if need be, we'll prioritize the work projects that are laid out there. So arguably, first thing you do is fix the roof. and then move forward from there. So building official and I have been actually reading some of the National Park Service, and of course the National Park Service is responsible for historic preservation in this country. So we don't have a local historic district, so you defer to the National Park Service standards. And they've got a bulletin on log buildings, and they do speak to the use of metal roofs. And metal roofs and log cabins are actually kind of a match set. Now, that's not our building. Our building is cedar shingles. So like for like is what we've got budgeted, but if need be, we'll see about talking to the state about going away from the cedar roof if that's too expensive, and see about looking perhaps at a metal roof, which will get us out of the roof replacement building business for a while anyway. That's where we are. This will come back for council approval on the 1st before we put it out to bid. The procurement is interesting because the state doesn't require a full-blown procurement process and public bid if it's less than $40,000. Ours is less than $40,000, but we'll at least post it in some of the appropriate places where preservationists might find it, as well as contacting individual preservationists to come and get this project done. Again, this isn't your typical roofing contractor who can come here and do it. So, of course, you can't put Anderson windows or contemporary building materials into this building. So we'll see what we get for our $35,427. That's why going into next fiscal year, I've at least got a share budgeted for another project. The Maryland Historical Trust does a dollar-for-dollar grant project, so I've got $10,000 just sort of budgeted away. And if we can complete the project before June 30th, then that can come out. But if not, that's kind of a placeholder right now to pursue the next round of grant funding. That's where we are. John's had a chance to go over and look at the building. Neither one of us have been inside of it. But John's gone over, especially as it pertains to some of the water damage issues. Just to keep an eye on that. Because we're a log building. Moisture and dry rot. If there's anything, if anybody's got any questions in particular about the Rao report, just let me know and we can follow up on it.
So the prices that were in here that they gave us before from 2018, they're still viable. The only addition is now the $12,000 for the shingles?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if they're still viable, right? I mean, that's yet to be determined.
This will be 3 years ago now in April.
Correct.
That they gave us this pricing.
Correct. So, I hate to put it this way. In a normal, for lack of a better word, in a non-preservation project, you would take a reasonable look at what an increase, just a market material increase would be, 4 or 5% a year, and go accordingly. The preservation project is not material, necessarily heavily material related. It's heavily labor related. So you have to make sure you've got the right person doing the right job and doing it in a way that the preservationists like have done. So we'll see. And if town attorney and I have discussed this, we're both of a like mind that advertisement needs to go out saying, this is what we've got for money. This project's going to be done at a not to exceed $35,427. So feel free to bid away, but this is what we can afford to spend on this phase of it anyway.
And the RFP is we're listing everything that was noted before in the report.
Correct.
Okay.
And because the package will be available, so
right.
They'll get the RFP, the written sort of the narrative. They'll get the documents that they need to sign off on, and then they'll get the Rao report. And building official I've been scheduling. I've been in our mind thinking about scheduling a one-day site visit. So if any contractor is interested, potential contractor is interested in coming and take a look at the site, but not, there's planks boarded up the window. So I think we only want to get in and out of that building one time. So we'll go from there. We'll have the one second visit day. Anybody can make it. If not, I'm sure staff will have a bunch of photos and some descriptions, and we're happy to talk to anybody who wants to come consider our project, even if they can't make a site visit. I want to be mindful of is that we don't get someone who's used to working in Colonial Williamsburg to come over here because our $35,000 went too far. Just saying, there's preservation and there's preservation. So.
And the building isn't even originally what it was built to anyway. That whole back section is gone. If you look at the original pictures, it's not what it was, the way that it was built originally anyway. So I guess we'll see what we can get out of that and see what we can do with it. There is the committee, so once we start getting the information, there is a committee with representatives from the Lions Club and the Historical Society. They're willing to serve on that. There was chatter also on Facebook for people starting a group that were interested in helping with fundraising and participating in that. Some of the cleanup can be done, you know, by volunteers, but some of the, depending on who can do some of the work, you know, there might be some people that are skilled enough to do it, you know, for based on whatever we have to do for historical preservation. So, and we also talked about getting a hold of the person that took down the trees before up in Chambers Park and asking if they would be able to take some more trees out. It could certainly use some more thinning, I think.
It could, you know, there's a building with a green roof, but not necessarily a green roof. Positive kind of sense.
It's a living roof.
And it's wet. And that's the thing, that building is wet. So the more daylight and fresh air that it's exposed to, I think, is all the better. And I understand it doesn't have an air conditioning unit or anything, so, you know, in the middle of July when there's some baked sun, the facility becomes less attractive as a place to do something. But to be perpetually in the dark and in the wet hasn't really, over the years, done that building a favor. So we can at least thin out some more upper branches. This way the building gets a little bit more daylight when the sun is high. But in the sunny time of the year, that would be beneficial, I think. So,
is there still electric running to that building?
There's a panel box, but I can't tell you.
I mean, I know whether you could stick a dehumidifier in it or something over the summer.
Unless something was disconnected when the Lions Club got redone, there shouldn't be. I mean, it should still have, because that's where it came from, I think. So.
That and some security lights probably around it would be helpful as well. Okay.
I think when those groups want to get together, a general field trip into and around that building, sort of a bigger community sense, I think it's going to be beneficial. But we got to trust, again, we got to trust the preservationists to know what they're doing, because, again, this isn't just putting a roof on this building. I mean, this is,
right.
You know, we went to the Maryland Historic Trust for their money, so.
We just stick to their guidelines.
Correct.
Yep. All right, next, number five.
The charter amendments, the resolution is there for the charter amendments to collect the specified unpaid bills. That was drafted by our attorney, and if there's any comment, please let me know so I can let her know. This will be coming back to council at our next meeting. Or contact our treasurer. I know enough about this to know enough about this, but the folks who deal with money every day can probably help us.
So, Lindsay had a note on here. Do we want to have it? If we're interested in this, then we need to schedule the public hearing. Isn't that what her note was?
Right.
So I thought we had discussed last month or the 2 weeks ago to go ahead and have her write one up so that we could go ahead and move forward with that.
Okay. And we'll move to schedule the public hearing. If there's no text changes or recommended changes in the language, they'll move forward and have this scheduled as a date for a public hearing on March the 1st.
So do you guys have any questions? Okay, so I guess Lindsay had written here that if I needed a motion to introduce that charter amendment, and then we would schedule it for the public hearing for March 15th. So was there a motion to introduce the charter amendment to establish a lien for specific unpaid bills?
I make a motion.
Go ahead.
That we introduce an amendment to a charter amendment to establish a lien for specific unpaid bills.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, so then can I get a motion to schedule a public hearing for March 15th?
I make a motion that we schedule a public hearing on March 15th for the charter amendment to establish a lien for specific unpaid bills.
Sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have resolution number 2021-02, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of Fredericksburg to designate certain lands located west of Wright Road, consisting of 211.649 acres of land, more or less, as priority funding areas.
These are the lots that came in by way of the annexation to make way for the proposed Aquacon development. The staff member from the Maryland State Planning Department contacted me by email. I think I might have forwarded that email last week, Mr. Dahlstrom, that these lots were eligible for priority funding area designation. He highly recommended that we do so. What that does is that makes the properties as a priority designated area, especially for water and sewer expansion. This is to serve development as well as land development as well as economic development. He said this can be done by a simple email. Talking to our clerk and our attorney and myself, preference is to have a formal paper trail and council action on file for these lots, so we can be done by resolution. That's what you've got in front of you. And while there's no immediate rush on this, it would be good to get it done. Running a parallel track of things like this while the developer runs their parallel track of actually getting all their state approvals, which I believe are on tap for next month. So,
I make a motion we approve resolution 2021-02.
So, your motion is to forward it to planning and zoning?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor of moving resolution, referring resolution number 2021-02 to the Planning Commission for their review and recommendation?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. We will get that on their docket. Okay, next we have Mayor and Council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Did we resolve anything with Davis Lane on what we're going to do or not do?
Oh, for the skirting? I thought last we had checked.
That was Jack.
No.
Jack's Lane.
Okay.
Sorry. Jack's Lane.
We were going to try to get some pricing, right, I thought? To look to see what... I thought that was the last email that went around.
Okay.
That's what I thought. Well, you were discussing an email. Whether we were going to take
that was thrown out, but we can't get pricing unless we put a claim in. Is that what it was, or
I'm not sure how that would work. I mean, I guess we could call somebody in and say, "Hey, can you give me an estimate?" I don't know.
I just find it hard to believe that you can go fast enough to do that kind of damage up on that little road.
Well, I was skeptic at first, but wearing a mask does not hide my identity, because I've had two people come to me about the same snowstorm about about the same driver.
On that same street or just throughout town?
The second one was on Morris Avenue, and he had his kid walking down the sidewalk, and a snowplow come by and threw slush on the sidewalk on the kid. And the guy said he yelled at the driver turned around, threatened to beat him up. The guy called the police, so I went, talked to the chief, but there was no report of it, so whether it happened or not, I don't know. Then there was another gentleman on Park Avenue, same driver, same snow driver, so I've got rocks all in my yard. So, you know,
they have to go to a certain speed to get it off the street.
Yes.
I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go down there 5-10 miles an hour.
No.
You've got to have a little bit of speed to do to move the snow off, because snow we get around here is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, you know, we don't have no fluffy snows. So you've got to have some speed to get up and move it. So, you know, you can't go slow all the time.
No, but I do think the having the dash cams in all of our vehicles will benefit us greatly.
Absolutely.
In these cases.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll definitely put that in motion.
Can the chief get them for us?
Yeah, I talked to him already, and I talked to him about the level of, it doesn't, you know, the camera needs to be good enough to document what's what, and it doesn't need to be like a police dash cam. When the stakes are a lot higher for police officer's behavior, we just need to be able to monitor what it is our driver sees, and, you know.
And they got to turn them on.
Yeah, well, and not delete them after, you know, a day.
Don't wait until after the fact.
Right.
There was an incident that happened in Florida, and I'm sure you guys might have heard too, about where they hacked into the wastewater treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have poisoned the people by adjusting chemicals in the water. Can that happen here?
I'd rather not have this discussion in public.
Yeah, because...
But the answer is, any system is vulnerable, right?
Okay.
And discussion with the county administrator, keeping in mind that the county IT staff has a staff member with a master's degree in cybersecurity, and it was going to be a few hours. Mr. Goldman was nice enough to assign that individual to the town of so that he could take a look at our systems. If it's going to be a day or so, then I think it's probably advisable to purchase the gentleman's time, just like you can do sort of a thorough go-through for us. And that's not going to be that expensive. I mean, we talked about the hourly rate would be, and it's probably $500 well spent. But I think it's worth considering, because the level that went up, if I'm not mistaken, was supposed to be monitored at 100 parts per million, and it was like 11,000 parts per million. And then basically turned the water into lye. So, and that's after it left the plant, which is a problem. So, you know, at least their staff caught it right away and was able to manually override it. But if you don't have staff there, if this thing happens at 2 in the morning, it could have been bad. Yeah. So, all of our systems are worthwhile looking at. I mean, you don't just want to get into a ransomware situation either. You think who wants to ransom the town of Edwardsburg?
Okay.
But you know, the town of Big Charles Library was ransomed a few years ago. So just saying, these things have been known to come home. Thanks for bringing that up, because it's, you know, that's security as well. It's easy to put cameras up, you know, and support the police. But this is something also to be mindful of as well.
Yes. And then last but not least, Christy. I had a gentleman complain that he had paid his water bill, and he's been watching and watching and watching, and he still hadn't got his check back. So he wanted to know how often he deposited.
Usually every day, if we have deposits, here lately we haven't had his money. daily. We just took a huge deposit to the bank today. So if he's made it in the last week, that it would be in today's deposit.
Okay. That's it. Thanks.
Can we go back to number one?
Yeah. I just need to let legit know, do we want to proceed with no fault coverage or no?
I think we... I really don't need to open that can of worms. I mean, I think we can certainly investigate what we might want to do. The problem is there's no burden of proof of who did what.
Right.
And like somebody said, if it's old and, you know, it's
brutal.
As old as, if it's as old as that, then, you know, you could probably walk by and like kick a stone while walking the dog and might crack it.
Okay.
So let's get a little investigation work done and then we'll I think, bring it back and we'll double check.
Okay.
Yeah, they all the one take that age on because Jeff and I walked up there and walked around. Yeah, they all look like they're very old.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Councilman Sewell?
I do not have anything this evening.
Councilman Phillips?
Yes. 2, 3, 4 months ago, I don't remember what, we were told that the vehicles up on Bloomingdale Avenue under fenced-in lot were taken care of and they would be gone. If anything, there's more now than when they said they were going to be gone.
Was that where they were parking the U-Hauls?
Mm-hmm. That way for U-Hauls.
Yeah. But that's that same
that
lot.
That
same lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I meant code enforcement told us that it was taken care of and they were all going to be gone. Well, here, however long later,
I don't
think
there's
more than
that. Suburbans moved.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went towing out.
No, they. I don't think. The house up on East Central still has two vans with no tags on them parked out back. So, as I said, 2 weeks ago or a month ago, now I have a empty house and a parking lot going on. I guess if we could get something done with those.
I believe John said he checked those out. He checked that property out, and those vehicles were supposed to be under repair.
Under repair by who? The lot is vacant. The house is vacant. There's nobody that lives there, and there's no tag on them. Our ordinance says you have, what, a week? And we're well over a week, and I've not seen them move or anybody touch them.
In other words, they shouldn't be running a repair shop on a vacant lot.
In a residential area.
In a residential area.
So.
Right.
Which goes back to the house next door with the blue plastic over the garage working on vehicles also that's been going at it for 10 years. And what else? I think that's it, actually. That's all.
Thank you. Councilman Marine?
I had one comment. Last week, I think Governor Hogan made a statement about the shots, everybody getting shots and so forth, in Caroline County that didn't say Fredericksburg, but Caroline County, a lot of the people that are getting shots are from Delaware, with Delaware addresses. We have a lot of people that live in Fredericksburg with Delaware tags, and I'm sure they've got Delaware addresses. And I think it's time for the police department to start cracking down on these vehicles with Delaware tags. If they're up here in the projects, they need to start doing something.
I would agree with that.
That is a job that they're supposed to be doing in the first place.
Well, they have that tag reader. So I guess the challenge is that if it's a Delaware plate, can they use the tag reader to see, obviously the car is still registered in Delaware, but then the question is that resident renting and living or squatting there and not changing their residency?
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it's bad when they come across WBAL 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's where I heard it.
Well, I know they weren't checking. So we were on one of those county agency calls because I had a work meeting canceled so I could participate in the county COVID call last week, I think it was, the week before. And they were saying that when they were giving them to the health department was verifying they were Caroline County resident. The ones that were going out of the Walmarts and the Walgreens and the other ones, they weren't verifying residency. And there was ones like at the Talbot County Walmart, there was people that were out of state that got stuff, and they were outside of Talbot County that got them because Walmart didn't check. They just gave them a shot.
They're Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah. So.
They need to start cracking down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can mention that to the chief. I would agree with that. They need to get their tags changed or live back to Delaware.
Live back to Delaware or pay the taxes on the vehicle.
Right.
If you don't live here. And I've got one that lives two doors down from me. Been there a year now. As soon as he moved here from Pennsylvania, got Delaware tags.
You got Delaware
tag? He's got Delaware tags.
Is it a rental? Because sometimes...
Yes, it's a rental house.
No, I mean, if the car is, like, leased, not a rental.
No, oh, no.
But,
no,
you know, sometimes you have out-of-state...
Oh, there. All three of them be here.
Okay.
Do you have to have proof of Delaware residency to register your car in Delaware? So they just use somebody's address?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, either that or post office box.
That counts for registration?
Huh.
Well, anyway, we'll get chief on them and start targeting some of those. Anything else?
That's the only thing I've got.
Thank you.
1 second. I did have one more. That dumpster is still on Green Ridge, which is fine, but there should be some type of marking put out there. I meant, and we just passed the ordinance that he needed a permit. Did he ever come get a permit? Because it's been sitting there for a month, I think. I meant, if we're going to pass ordinances, let's try to enforce them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I meant, like I said, I'm sure he doesn't know. If a phone call would probably take care of all the problems, but.
And he would take care of it.
Right. Kind of dark coming down that end of Green Ridge. We don't need anybody running in the back of the dumpster.
You shouldn't be up there anyway. You don't live up there.
I'm all over town. You never know. All right, that was it.
All right. The only thing I have is there's some, I know COVID grant money is still flying around hot and heavy. If there's anything that we can apply for or use COVID grant money for, then we should get in the queue and get some. Everybody else's. So I'm not sure they could put a back cover or a trash truck in for COVID, but we got creative enough, we might be able to. And that's all I have. Yes, ma'am.
Is anybody planning on going to the MML convention in Ocean City this year? Hotels are open for reservations. If anybody would like hotel reservations, I can go ahead and make them. If we have to cancel them later, we can, but.
I think I was going to try to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they were allowing some from each jurisdiction, so.
I'm having all my stuff.
It's a little hard to do stuff now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, if nobody has anything else, I will take a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. All right. Thank y'all.
Thank you. See y'all.
See ya.
See ya.